Number one, this is a podcast for small to medium businesses. We're going to talk marketing, hiring, leadership, human resources, taxes, operations, everything you need to run your business better. Number two, the experts you hear on this show are going to give you easy to understand tips that you can put in place quickly. Number three, every day you gotta laugh. Life is too short to take it seriously all the time. This is 3 for 3. Let's go.
Welcome back to the 3 for 3 podcast. My name is Matt Hogan, and I'm going to be your host today. Today we're sitting down with our very own Kurt Clyden from Clyden & Associates. Kurt, how are you doing today?
No, I'm pretty good. Matt, how are you doing today?
Not doing too bad. We're here. It's the end of the week for us, and looking forward to this weekend. Got some fun stuff planned with friends and family. How about yourself?
Yeah, same deal. Hopefully we'll get some nice weather as fall wraps up.
I know. It's almost hard to believe the season is coming to a close. Summer is done, and we're getting this cooler weather coming in. I can't believe it, honestly.
Yeah, it's a good time of year, though.
So, Kurt, you've been on this side of the mic before, and you've been in charge of this podcast here going on a little over a year now, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to sit down with you and get your side of things, and I think there's no better way to open this show up than have you maybe introduce yourself from a standpoint of somebody who'd be being interviewed. Who you'd be interviewing, I should say.
Well, sounds good, Matt. I appreciate not having to do the hard work today. Let you do that. But, yeah, thanks for being our host today.
Oh, yeah.
So, as some of our listeners may know, I come from a journalist background. I started as editor of Akron Life and Leisure Magazine, now referred to as Akron Life Magazine. And I came right out of graduate school doing that. I am a writer by trade and background, and It was a fun way to start a career. I got a chance to meet a lot of really interesting people, both in Akron and, you know, celebrities that were coming to town for speaking engagements, this or that. So that was a nice way to get introduced to a professional career, and then I came into the family business at Clyden here, and that was in 2005. So I brought a lot of the knowledge from the public relations standpoint. You know, as the editor of a magazine, I would get press releases and worked with PR folks all the time, and so I knew the good ones, and I knew the ones that probably needed a little bit of help. And, you know, you learn as much as the people that do a good job with it as you do the people that don't do such a great job. And so that really helped me bring up public relations and PR into our agency here. And that's really just grown to lots of different ways. And, of course, now I talk PR and social media in the same breath. It's really one and the same.
It is crazy how that whole branch has developed and formed into its own thing. Social media and PR. When you mention PR, people almost assume you're mentioning social media anymore. And I wanted to make mention, obviously, bringing that here, and as our listeners would know, public relations and your creative writing background, that was just a match made in heaven. So to be able to weave stories and narratives and tell companies' messages in an interesting and unique way, having that background of creative writing and going through, and I know you did some teaching as well.
I did, yeah.
And that's something that I think brings a whole other element to public relations. Do you want to talk about a little bit more on what you brought to the table today when it came to some of your communication tips and what you're looking for when it comes to good communication? Yeah. And what is essential in today's business world, and something we see is needed a lot in public relations between businesses and consumers, that level of communication.
Yeah, well, you know, in this business here, it's all about communicating. And a lot of our clients come to us and you know, they need help getting a message across. And some people think about, you know, you think about advertising and think about marketing and think about like the design element of it, or, you know, the flashy element of it. But you don't think about the basics of communication that often. And so I recently had some communications with people in my field that led me to think, well, you know, what can we do better? And this really applies, it's not just to marketing or creating a message, whether it's a press release or an advertisement, but it's basic stuff that I think is across the board. And whether or not you're within this field or you're whatever it is, and everyone today, we're really in this constant communication standpoint, right? You know, most of us are checking emails at night or are on our Slack channels or we're, you know, checking on social media. We're always communicating, and that's good, but it's also, we've all run into it, I think, a little too fast. And no one's set any ground rules around it, you know. I'd be curious to, you know, this is a good side conversation to find out through your college experience. Did you ever get like any training of, okay, here's the basic ways of how we communicate with people? You go to school and you get some training in writing. Some people get speech training, you know, different ways of communicating. But I think it's kind of an etiquette kind of thing, and it's kind of good common sense. But there are some things that we never really learn and that can really help us communicate. So, yeah, so I've got three tips today. And I think the first one here, as I've written it down, is that communicating is a two-way street. And it applies to let's take our field for example. And Matt, maybe you wrote a social media post out there. Mm-hmm. And it could be, let's say there's a sale on hamburgers next week. And so you've got a post on that, and that's great. And so right now, it's a one-way street, right? Mm-hmm. You put a message out there. Now, people are going to have questions, or they're going to respond to that. Or they might just see that and let it be. They've taken in the information. But once you've put that message out there, you have to realize that you have to be ready to take that back in. And now let's change the scenario here a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're talking to a customer of yours, and the customer asks you a question. When's the sale start? Mm-hmm. You have to be ready to respond to that, but respond in really just the right way. Mm-hmm. And this can go outside, I think it really applies here to email communications. Mm. And I've seen so many cases where you write an email to someone and you don't get a response. And you follow up maybe 3 days later with another email. And this is not unsolicited. This is a basic communication with someone you know or someone you've worked with. And you're trying to get some sort of feedback on there. To have a good communication, you have to have that two-way street, mm-hmm. where you as the recipient, let's turn the tables again here, you're getting a message from someone that you've worked with. You've got to be able to respond to them and have some sort of good answer to that, or maybe it's just as simple as a basic response. But we can't have communication succeed unless there's that two-way street flowing both ways. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and I completely agree. What social media has opened up to us is this conversation that you can just join in at any point. A lot of people use this to express their viewpoints, their opinions. Maybe it's a funny cat picture on the internet, but we're all always, whenever we post, transmitting that message out there and being prepared to respond to that, because people are going to have questions or comments. But that's what's the beauty of it, you know? And I love that, because we get into this point where maybe it's a little bit information overload. But what we notice is we are communicating like never before. And I'd love to get your opinion on how the instantaneousness of social media in this digital age has brought about changes to this two-way communication. I know you mentioned email, and you know, we have other forms of communication, dating back, you know, classic mail, and mm-hmm. especially we see this in business. But taking it to this level of social media, what's your opinion on the instantaneousness nature of it? Are we sometimes getting too much? When does work get cut off? You know, I'm not going to respond to any emails, or I'm not going to comment on social media after 8 p.m. Yeah. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's a really tricky question to answer, because good communication has to have good information on both sides. So taking that scenario, you ask, okay, so when's the sale start? I either know the answer or I don't. Mm-hmm. And if I know the answer, I have to report it correctly. Okay, sale starts Friday at 5 o'clock, for example. Mm-hmm. But if I don't know the answer, and that's where the trick comes in, because so often, let's say if you, in a case like that, you didn't do your homework and you don't know when the sale starts. Well, you gotta go find out when the sale starts or what the answer to the question is. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, what do? Okay, so you can guess at it. Maybe sales start almost every Friday at 5 o'clock, and you think that that's the case now, okay? Because that gives you a little bit of good instant response to it, but you're also not absolutely accurate. There could be a mistake in that statement. Mm-hmm. Number two is you go find out the answer, and you're quiet until then. Number three is you respond with something immediately and say, "Well, I'm not sure, but let me go find out for you." Which I think in that third scenario, which I think is probably the right scenario, and I'm going to answer part of your question here in a second about when do you turn it off, but I think people talk about this, I think, in politics a lot. It's good and it's authentic to say, "I don't know," once in a while.
Absolutely.
As long as people are hearing from you. And that's the thing. You don't want to have not someone not hear from you. Now, then you get the question of, all right, so it's it's a Saturday, or you're not at the office, and should you respond then? And I think you have to take it a case-by-case scenario. Mm-hmm. We've got sometimes when something is an absolute deadline on, or it's critical information. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we know on social media, and let's look for a bigger audience here, let's not talk about just general one-on-one communications. Mm-hmm. Do you have to be, should it be part of your responsibility to be on all the time? Mm-hmm. I think that's more of a philosophical question, isn't it? Because we all need time with our family. We all need mm-hmm. time to decompress. If we're on all the time, we're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You can't be watching your phone all the time. But there is some expectations there by some out there to always be able to answer quickly. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good question to ask yourself personally, is where do you set those barriers? And then stick to it as much as you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the best course of action. Is you got to really start determining that and what your cutoff time is. And I know a lot of professionals, they say, okay, I'm home from work, I give it till this time, and I'm done. But especially in this digital age where people are asking you questions that are pertinent, and maybe it's the difference maker for a new client or making or breaking a sale. Yeah, it's a tricky thing to navigate as we move forward through the 21st century here.
Well, and here's another idea, and this relates to, as I was giving those three scenarios here, instead of saying to yourself, just stop, you quit at 5 o'clock, or it's weekend, and you say it's either green light or red light. Well, why not have a yellow light in there? Mm-hmm. So you may be saying, all right, so. On these off hours, let's say 5 to 8 p.m. or 5 to bedtime or whatever that may be, I'm still going to check in every once in a while, and I'll have a reasonable response, mm-hmm. which is that if you've got an answer, you can provide that quickly and succinctly, and if you don't, It's I'll get back to you when I can. Mm-hmm. But it's just like being in a car. When you're driving, you don't just stop immediately. You slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think we need that slow down period. So that's respectful for the people on the other end. They have a question out there, mm-hmm. but it's also respecting your own boundaries.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great analogy there.
Yeah, thanks.
So, let's get into tip number two. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so, and this, I think this relates to just what we were talking about, and that was that I think you need to be willing to say that you can respond immediately. Mm-hmm. And let's just take the scenario of during the working day. And a lot of these things I look at and I reflect upon myself, because I'm not always, I'm not going to say I'm perfect at these, because I know there's times when someone asks me a question, it could be a phone call, it could be an email, and if I don't have an answer right there, or my mind's somewhere else, I'm not responding immediately. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a point where you do respond, because once someone's asked you something, and I see this on the other side as well, you got to have some sort of a back and forth there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's respectful to mm-hmm. the person that you're communicating with to give them something.
Absolutely.
And I with email in particular, you've got such an issue with spam, and you don't know if messages actually got across. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a receipt of confirmation of acceptance, acceptance of the message. Just having something out there that you can put out. I'm not a big fan of the automated message, and you see that sometimes on Facebook where it's a, you know, we can't answer your question immediately, and really it does start to get a little impersonal there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you look at vacation scenarios, and I think it's good to have that. I'm out of office, so on a personal level, or like a one-to-one communication, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, getting into this topic on, you know, getting responses out immediately. I mean, we look at something you mentioned, Facebook, and they give badges that you can display publicly if you have such a great response time.
Yeah.
But bringing it into a real world situation, if there's a deadline or if something's coming up, people need responses as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
We all get distracted during the day because there's many different things that need to be handled, and there's only one of us. So
Right. Getting
things accomplished, but also being able to manage those conversations that are ongoing but that aren't in person.
Right.
Sometimes if we have an email that's pressing, but we also have a conversation we're having in person in your office, obviously, something needs to take precedence, even though both are important.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting thing to really consider is, you know, if you're having a conversation like we are right now in person, face to face, you're not going to ask me a question and I'm not going to just respond.
I love that. You know, exactly.
And I think it's such a unique thing that's going on nowadays when it comes to social media and the way we communicate, where we can just leave someone on read.
Right.
Or another phrase people use is ghosting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, ghosting is the worst, isn't it? You know,
you're just trying to get something across and you're like, just respond.
Right.
And especially now where most of the people, you know, they have their cell phone on them almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like, come on. I know you have your phone on you. You look at it every 5 minutes. Text me back.
You know, and there's a boundary there because you and I both work in public relations, right? And we both send out press releases. And we know that just because you send out a press release or an article pitch, that the editor is not necessarily going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen cases, because of course I was on the other side of the field here a little bit, was at editor of a magazine, where people expected you to respond.
Hmm.
Now, and then some of these would be like off the wall. I can't think of the good examples anymore, but I would get crazy press releases for an arts and entertainment magazine for the, you know, city of Akron, basically, in the region. And then they would follow up and like, why didn't you print my press release? Or I think this is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example where if you don't understand your relationship, then you're pushing in a direction that is probably not going to benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be respectful when you're specifically when you're communicating with someone that has not requested you to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just out of the blue, if you're trying to sell something or if you're trying to pitch something, initial communication is fine, but to have this constant pestering of messages when it's not something someone's shown interest in, well, then you're doing yourself a disservice. And I think that's become a big issue in email too. Do you get these messages where you've got like 4 messages from someone that says, I haven't heard from you on this yet, and it's someone that is just trying to sell you something, and you think to yourself, come on, I don't care about your doohickey.
Just get the sign.
Yeah.
And that comes down to one thing that I'd love to touch on with this is expectations in communication.
Mm, good.
And we have, we've been talking about this two-way street and how we get a hold of people and at what times and how do you respond. But one of those things that we got to bring into the conversation is expectations. So my relationship with you, if you sent me something, the expectation would be that it'd be handled as soon as possible and I'd get back to you with whatever answer that it is. But then we have, you know, solicitors or people trying to sell you their product and they expect you to get back to them. But on our end, you know, we're like, I don't want your product. Please leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up such a unique wave of things and how to properly understand your relationship with somebody, depending on if they're a stranger, if they're an acquaintance or business partner. And what is the expectations between you when it comes to responding in a timely manner?
Yeah.
So I don't know, what's your opinion on all that?
Yeah, I think it's a great point to bring up. And the more that you can understand who you report to in the same scenario, most of our clients are my boss. So if I get a message from any of our clients, I'll take a look at it and make sure it's something that, you know, you can tell the urgency of it, right? I'm responding as quickly as I can to that, and that's the best practice. But sometimes you'll get requests from people that are maybe a partner of your client. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out, all right, so how urgent is this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes those people cross the boundaries thinking that they go to the top of the list. And I think it's best to, it's still respectful to respond, but to say, okay, well, unless, you know, John, my client said, this needs to come first. I haven't heard from him on this, so I'm not going to put this priority, just so you know. And then if, otherwise, you just have to let me know. But also at the same time, you have to be respectful of my relationship with my client.
Absolutely. And it's such an interesting take. And I think with technology, and as I mentioned, you know, we have ghosting and we always have our phones on us. And I like to bring it back to that personal level. I know when I send out a text message and where I'm having conversations with folks, sometimes you set up a plan and, hey, we're going to meet up and we're going to go to this place. And they don't text you back and you're like, okay, are we doing this? What time? Right. Are we going to confirm? Part of that's the overplanner in me, but I love looking at it from different perspectives between personal life and business life, and how those can intermingle, and how you need to make sure that not only are you constantly communicating with people, but the urgency and understanding of, you know, is this person going to respond in a timely manner about this topic, or am I just going to be like, okay, I'm assuming we're going for it, and we're going for it.
Yeah. And don't you think it's best, and those, we talk about that personal level of communication, to, as the person that's reaching out, and say you're reaching out to your best friend, and earlier in the week, said, let's do dinner at the end of the week, and here it is, like, Friday morning, and you haven't heard back from that person yet, and you send them a message. But to say to yourself, phones die sometimes, or they've got it on silence, or they lost it in the cushions of the couch, you know, and they just don't have access to it, you know, and I think we all get a little frustrated, like, come on, man, just respond to me. But, you know, at the same time, you don't know that they actually are seeing your message, you know, and I think we've all had that happen to us as well.
Absolutely. I think, just like in business, understanding your client or whoever you're working with, and understanding your friends.
Yeah,
I know I have many people in my life I have to send invitation, reminder one, reminder two, day of reminder. And sometimes those people need it, other people don't, but it's part of the fun that is communications.
And you start to get to know people once you communicate them with them, right? I was always the friend that came late to stuff, you know, so they always knew that if I wasn't there right when things started, well, that's just what Kurt's doing. That's Kurt's vibe.
He's casually late. Exactly. Cool guy. I never knew you had a leather black jacket and you had the hair slicked back and the black glasses. Very cool. So let's get on to our final tip. What do you got for us?
I think we've been leading up to this because we're on the same page with it. It is just pick up the phone and call people. If you don't have the opportunity to meet with people in person, which I think is ideal, and I think we're on the same page with that, but you've got to talk to someone so that you can give them a chance to respond. As you said, we wouldn't ask a question between us right here in person where the other person just sat there and waited to answer the question. It's the same thing with a phone call. And, you know, we let so much go to just email or text a response. When you get that one-on-one communication, you pick up the phone and call. And it's a simple one. And I know people like my father's generation, they'll go phone first. And sometimes that's, maybe it's good to go that way first. It all depends on what you're trying to get across. But how often can you actually just get something done when you talk to someone, right?
Absolutely. I mean, getting in touch with people, getting in front of them, and getting that point across or whatever you need to talk to them about, I think is really important. And it also shows, you know, if it's a phone call, I think it's a little more meaningful as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, right.
And I know you talk about older generations and the importance of the handshake and being in front of each other, or, you know, the importance of a phone call over a text or an email. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it as if it's somebody's birthday, you know. You could always send them a text if they're an acquaintance, or, but you know, you have those important people in your life. Maybe it's your mom, a grandparent. You give them a call, you send them a card, you be there in person, because that's, you know, that's the type of relationship you have, and it's important.
Can you imagine? We all know the Facebook trend of wishing someone a happy birthday, or LinkedIn trend of that. Can you imagine if you got all of those phone calls one day? I mean, it would be a little overwhelming, but man, you'd feel like the best person in the world, wouldn't you?
My gosh, I remember I had Facebook, because the way I was raised and I came up in the digital age, I had Facebook from a younger age than most.
Yeah.
And I remember going on for my birthday, and all my high school friends were wishing me happy birthday. And my gosh, one day you would get maybe 50 to 60 people wishing you a happy birthday. Could you imagine? Your phone would be blowing up, and you're just getting so many phone calls, and yeah, not enough hours in the day for all that.
Yeah, but it shows you the value of that and the worthiness. So,
absolutely, and it also shows, you know, who what relationships you have that are that strong.
Yeah,
and I think it does help the strength of a relationship, and it shows it when you're doing more meaningful actions such as phone calls mm-hmm. and all that. But yeah, no, those are some amazing tips from two-way communication and, you know, response time. How are we going to respond at what time, and you know, what is the limits, and of course, how are we going to get in touch with somebody via phone, or what that relationship is. I think those are great communication tips, and kind of it's going to be invaluable to anybody who's listening to this, whether it's in your business, in your personal life, in any aspect, because every day we communicate with hundreds of people, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, through social media or in person. So being able to manage those connections in a meaningful way is something that we are at the epicenter of here in 2019.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for letting me be on your show today.
On my show. I know today, so it's 3 for 3. Usually there's 3 dad jokes. I know we don't have any jokes, but I do have 3 small tips that you could take home. We talk business here, but since we usually get a little more family-friendly with our dad jokes, I figured let's take 3 pieces of fun family advice that you could take to your interpersonal relationships that I got for you today. So the first one, and this you can do right after you're done listening to this: call somebody who matters to you, be it your wife, significant other, it could be a parent, a grandparent, a friend. Give that person a call and let them know how you're feeling about them today. You never realize until you call them the impact that you would have by just telling them you're thinking of them and you're hoping they're having a good day. I do it with my grandmother a lot, and you know, sometimes those small calls that might not mean much, they might last a minute, it's going to help strengthen those interpersonal relationships, and it's just going to make someone smile. And I think that's really important. Tip number 2 for your interpersonal relationships, notes. We all look at little notes, post-it notes. We have them in our office reminding us of things. But find somebody you know. It could be a coworker. It could be a friend. Just leave them a happy little note. I think it's going to make their day. It could brighten up their Friday, or it can make someone's Monday a little more tolerable. And finally, my last little interpersonal tip is going to be, when you're talking with somebody next, you know, it could be in person with a client, make sure that you, so I'd say maybe it's a follow-up call, maybe it's a follow-up email, make sure that you do that extra step to make sure that they have a good opinion of you. So thank you so much for joining me today, Kurt. I'm glad we can have a little talk about communication, and that was 3 for 3.